The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you? No, apparently, Rolene not with us at the moment. So, do you know if it is a squid is always damp, says Colin. So it's a damp squib. That's what I thought. Okay, so I'll let Louis Karpus know. I love being right. Thank you. Thanks, Colin. Morning, Rolene Marks.
Good morning. Happy 2021, everybody. And I do have to confess, I've never been up that close and personal with a squib, so I really couldn't tell you.
Have you been that close to a squid, though?
I can neither confirm nor deny, ladies, that I have been up close and personal with a squid.
Okay, let's talk about Israel and the United States vote against the U.S. the UN budget, United Nations budget.
Oh,
what was the budget for?
Let's end. What a way to end off 2020, and insert emoji of your choice right there. I have one slightly brown one in my head, but yeah, let's talk about. This is the annual vote for the UN budget for the year. This is, of course, for the year 2021, and one of the allocations was for a 20-year commemoration of the UN Conference Against Racism that took place in Durban in 2001, and voting against the entire budget was the United States and the State of Israel. And our ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, said last night he cannot in all consciousness vote for a budget that is so glaringly anti-Semitic. You know, with everything that is going on in the world at the moment, you know, is it necessary to have a commemoration of an event that singled out the Jewish state for opprobrium, and it became an anti-Semitic hate fest. Those of us who remember at the time and were working on issues surrounding this remember very, very clearly how the conference, which was intended to look at racism and incidents of racism around the world and have very, very important discussions about racism, actually became the platform which BDS was launched into international consciousness, done very, very deliberately in Durban, because we know of South Africa's very, very dark and painful past, and it was very, very symbolic to do that there. And it actually, the conference actually resulted in many states getting up and walking out because it became an anti-Semitic hate fest. And here I have to give a shout out to the South African Zionist Federation and the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, who formed the media team Israel at the time, the media team which is still going. People like Bev Goldman, Cherise Zayfert, who really assembled a crack group of people, all volunteers in South Africa, to try and deal with some of the hatred that was starting to seep into the media. I know at the time, we're working at the time in South Africa, it was the first time the Jewish community had seen this kind of level of antagonism towards the state of Israel and towards Jews in general. And it from there descended this chaos in the press towards Israel. So our ambassador taking a very, very, very firm stance, as well as the U.S. ambassador. And we really hope that this trend of the United States supporting Israel so valiantly at the U.N. continues into the Biden administration.
Okay, very good. Rolene, what else has been happening in Israel? I mean, you guys are going back to the elections. It's mind blowing. You know what? In fact, before we talk about Israel, can we just talk about Biden? So you've got a question here that says, will Biden amend the pay to slay? What is pay to slay?
Okay, so let's discuss pay to slay, and it's very important that we do. Pay to slay is the term that we give the propensity of the Palestinian Authority for paying these salaries to terrorists who have been caught either plotting or carrying out acts of terror that harm Israelis. And when we talk about Israelis, we're not just talking about Jewish Israelis. We're talking about Israelis in general. And this also includes tourists, by the way, who have also been hurt, who have also been killed in the midst of terror attacks. And I'm going to get to the Taylor Force Act in a second. And it's not just terrorists who receive these monthly stipends, but in the event of their deaths, their families receive payment. And of course, the salary scale is higher if you are killed committing an act of terror. And a couple of years ago, in response to a US citizen being killed in a terror attack in Jaffa, his name was Taylor Force. In response to that, the US government enacted the Taylor Force Act, which would put an end to giving any money to the Palestinian Authority because they give it to this pay-to-slay scheme. And the one thing that the Palestinian Authority are hoping to do now that there is a administration change coming through later this month is that they are putting together their campaign to appeal to Biden to soften the stance that was taken by the Trump administration with regards to pay to slay. They also want the PLO that is recognized and that was labeled a terror group. And this was in 1987. They want to designate that legislation as unconstitutional. So they're really putting together an offensive for the Biden administration. They want to soften the stance as well of pay to slay. They want to still receive aid money. And it will be very interesting to see what the Biden administration does with regards to this. You know, there are very skeptical feelings around whether or not the Biden administration will want to be seen as the as anti everything the Trump administration did. And maybe they will soften their stance against it. But as we know, over the last 4 years, the Palestinian Authority have severed any ties towards dealing with the Trump administration. They said that the Trump administration recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and that to them is absolutely unattainable. And despite many appeals over the last couple of years to please come back to the negotiation table, it's one thing to object, but it's another thing to object without bringing any counterpoints to sit down and start negotiating around. So it looks like we're in for a very interesting next 4 years, because it's going to very much be a let's see what the administration that's coming in is going to do and how we are going to react or maybe preempt accordingly.
Yeah, let's see what happens. How do you think Joe Biden's going to be for Israel?
Well, Joe Biden has, and this is where people do seem to get a little bit concerned. People seem to think Biden was the vice president to Obama. Obama was not such a great president in terms of his relations with Israel. It's his personality clash with the Prime Minister Netanyahu is very well known. And also, I have to say, his naivety in understanding Jewish and Israeli history. All you have to do is read his new book called The Promised Land to understand, you know, just where his understanding. And I know there will be some who say, yes, but, you know, it's written maybe by a ghostwriter, blah, blah, blah. But you can read in the book just how naive and how lacking Obama was in Jewish and Israeli history. And as been discussed quite a few times, he wasn't really a foreign policy president. He was more concerned with domestic issues in his country, which is absolutely his right to be as the leader of the United States. Biden, on the other hand, is a more foreign policy orientated politician. He has a very, very good history and relationship with the state of Israel. Yes, there have been a few incidents over his very, very, very long career. However, and quite ironically, when Taylor Force was killed, Joe Biden was having dinner with Shimon Peres not too far away from that. Joe Biden made many visits to Israel in his capacity as vice president, as senator, and all through his political career, and has a long-standing friendship with the prime minister and with the various other members of our political establishment as well. And to me, one of the greatest commentators, Michael Oren, who's an Israeli historian, a former MK, and also the former ambassador of Israel to the United States, and who served there during the Obama administration, counts Joe Biden as a great friend of Israel. And this is somebody who has worked very, very closely in the political establishment there. So I think that we can't get too hysterical. We have to remember that there is a long-standing relationship. We also have to remember that Israel still enjoys very, very, very strong bipartisan support from the United States, and that we are a very, very crucial and one of the country's most important allies in the region and in the world. So let's wait and see. There of course will be issues that maybe we will clash on, as all friends do from time to time. We might have a quibble here and there, but I don't think that this administration will necessarily be as bad as people are expecting it to be.
Yeah. What's your thought on Kamala? Do you know she's married to a Jew? I didn't know that she was married to a Jew.
She is married to a Jew. They call her Kamala Mamala. Kamala is more of an ambiguous one, as many of us have seen her over the years. She does have those impeccable APAC credentials. She is married to a Jew. However, she is a lot more left-leaning than Joe Biden is. And we also can't forget that before he picked Kamala Harris as his running mate, there was a major clash of personalities there, which is quite interesting, you know, when the choice was announced. We don't know as much as we would like to know about her foreign policy as far as she stands with Israel. She is more leftist, as I've just said. So we would want to hear a lot more from Kamala Harris. But she also has visited Israel. She also has made her support very, very strongly known in the past couple of years. She was part of the Democratic Party delegation that came here in 2019, the one that certain squad members elected to skip out on, preferring to do their own. We know the story around that. But we also have to remember that politics from the United States are not decided by one person. They still have to meet the majorities in Congress. And we always have to remember that this is a very, very crucial alliance, and long may it continue to be so.
Yeah, let's talk about Vaccination Nation.
Vaccination Nation, honey. We are past our 800,000 people being vaccinated, getting their jabby. As soon as I put down the phone to you, I'm going to try and get hold of Marco Patkolin, because we're starting to open up people to receive theirs in the next coming days. But yet, Israel continuing to lead the world in the amount of people vaccinated per capita. This is really a massive achievement for this country. And we've just received 1 million Moderna vaccines. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to compare notes coming up, guys. What do you say? My only fear is that I am a massive baby when it comes to needles. So anyone wanting to volunteer to sing to me or something while I have mine done, and I'll let you know when I do.
Try and book it for next Friday this time. Rolene Marks, if you can book it for next Friday this time, I will get listeners to sing to you.
You may have to pry me out of the fecal position. The only problem is the Kupat Choli might not be open this time to start with my with the jabbies. But hey,
come on, tell them we want to give them some coverage. Come on, tell them. Let's do it live on air. We'll get listeners to sing to you. I'll even join in.
Well, now that you throw in that offer, Kathy. Nabuchle, right. What do you say?
Oh, she's not in the studio. Well? Ro, we're all in lockdown.
Not in studio.
No, stations went back into lockdown, full lockdown last Thursday. So there's four of us. that are here at the station.
Well, let's just give it up for you guys, because you know what? People don't realize everything that goes on behind the scenes to make the magic happen, and you guys continue to be magicians, and it is so appreciated by all of us, including myself, who play our small little role in making sure that the listeners get what they want.
Thank you, Ro. You know what? I've actually said yesterday that my colleagues, including yourself, have hearts of champions.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.